Good day, friends. We're glad to have this opportunity of coming into your family circle once again with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. We trust that you remain with us for the next quarter hour as we deal once again with an outstanding look at the Word of God. When I say outstanding, any time we look at the Word of God, we're looking at that which is outstanding, and we trust that your view and our view today on the broadcast regarding this Word will be outstanding and significant in the sight of Almighty God. When I read the prophecy that said, "The people who are set in darkness have seen a great light," I am oppressed with a prophecy that told or foretold the coming of the Son of God, the Messiah, to this earth. You know, I've been told by those who are in a position to know that in the annals of history, the Israelite people were constantly looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. I'm aware of the fact that the mothers from the tribe of Judah, knowing that it had been stated that the scepter would not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, as had been given, written by Moses in Genesis 49:10, was on the mind of many mothers in Israel. The tribe of Judah, of course, was the sacred tribe from the standpoint of the lineage of Jesus Christ, and he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, as the New Testament teaches. One of the great teachings that must be considered is that when Christ came to this earth, he truly must be looked upon as the light of the world, for in the first place, we understand the world was steeped in darkness, the darkness of sin. And I want to make it clear on the broadcast today that not alone do we find this sin to be found in the lives of many Israelites, and of course many Gentile people in the world, but we also find the darkness of sin to be found in the life and the action of the religious leaders among the Israelite people. I'm led to believe also when I look at the New Testament that when Jesus looked at the Pharisees and the scribes, he was able to call them hypocrites. Now, I'm very careful about calling someone a hypocrite because I'm aware of the fact that I have to be able to see his mind or his heart, and I can't do that. The only evidence that I can see of hypocrisy is in the action, the outer action, in the lives of an individual. Jesus said to judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment, as we have in John 7:24. But let's keep this thought in mind, that the Son of God in coming to this world could look into the hearts of mortal men. He could realize the sin that was found in their lives, and he understood that he had the remedy through his heavenly Father to take that sin out of their light. So might out of their life. May I say on the broadcast then today that when Christ came, the Jewish people were at a very low ebb. You know, when you read the Old Testament and you emphasize upon the teaching that's found back in Judges, you find that there was a drifting away from God, and then, as we've told you on past broadcasts, there was a return to him when the people cried to Jehovah for deliverance from their oppression. At the time when the captivity took place, tucked away in the Old Testament, the Israelite people were steeped in idolatry. But as we look at the teaching of history, and truly the teaching of the Bible, we understand that this idolatry had been burned out of these people. When they came out of that captivity after 70 years in Babylon and Persia, idolatry was truly burned out of them. It is said by historians that they had actually made a pact in their mind that they would not permit idols to influence their people any other way or any other time. But there were certain idols that got into their life. These were the idols of pride, the idols of greed, the idols of self-concern, a condition that we find yet in the world today. And by the time that Jesus came to this earth, these people had drifted completely away from God. Their religious leaders were aware of the fact that there was a law of Moses, but they had placed their tradition in place of the true teaching of the law of Moses. Do you remember reading at the time when Jesus condemned the Pharisees and scribes, no doubt also the Sadducees, for placing more emphasis upon the gold that was upon the altar than upon the altar itself? The Pharisees were the ones who made long prayers upon the street corner and then went from their religious garb, as we might say, a cover-up for a life of sin in which they even stooped to the robbing of widows of their few shekels that they had in their land and in their house. Jesus knew this, and so he made the famous statement, probably time and time again, But we have it in the Scripture that he reminded his apostles that these men knew the law, but he said they're like the whitewashed tombs of Judea. On the outside they are clean with whitewash, but on the inside they are corrupt. They are as a tomb filled with dead man's bones. So it's a wonderful thing to realize that when Christ came to the world, he was a true breath of fresh air spiritually. He was not received by his people in the main, for we understand in John 1:11, as we have that account, that it simply says that he came into his own, but his own received him not. But I want to look at the aspect in the life of Jesus truly as the light of the world, because he's called the light of the world. And I'm led to believe, as I look at the Scripture today, that John, in his wonderful writing in 1 John, wanted us to know that Jesus Christ truly, carrying out the message and the purpose of God, was the true light. Listen now as we go to the first chapter of 1 John, and I trust that you will thrill with the burden of this message. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But now listen to 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Paul said in Colossians 1:13 that the Colossians had been delivered from the power of darkness, and they'd been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the kingdom of Christ. Their deliverance from darkness was a deliverance from sin. And might I make it clear to you on the broadcast today that Jesus Christ had the effect upon the lives of the repentant believers that truly a light would have to a darkened room. No doubt you found yourself entering a room at night when you could not see your proverbial hand in front of your face, and yet you fumbled for the light switch, and when you found it, you threw the switch. And then the room that had been in total darkness was now illuminated by the light that was made possible by your flipping of the switch. Jesus Christ became the spiritual light to the world. And he's made it possible, may I say, for you and for me to flip the switch. Even though our sins be as scarlet, the old song says in the Bible teaches, he's able to make them white as snow. The wonderful thing about this, not alone are our sins forgiven when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the light is truly put on in our life, we're delivered from the power of darkness, and we're really translated into a kingdom of his dear Son, or a kingdom of light. But then the provision is made clear here that that sin that has been overcome can be kept out of our lives by the very principle that's found here in 1 John 1:7. Notice what this verse really says, people. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, and you see, we have to get in the light to be able to walk in it. We've come from darkness, John says, we're in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Now, our fellowship, first of all, must be with Jesus Christ. You recall as he gave that teaching in Matthew 11 that we've told you before, when he said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This yoke is indicated with the expression we have fellowship one with another. Now, I know we have fellowship with our brethren, but it's also vital to realize that our initial fellowship comes with Jesus Christ. When we come to him in complete obedience, we come from the darkness of sin and we enter into the light. Then he gives us a provision that the blood of Jesus Christ that can both give life and forgiveness will cleanse us from all sin. Not alone is this true when we obey the gospel initially, but it's truly in our daily Christian living. You may say as you listen to the broadcast today, well, preacher, that sounds good to me. It's a wonderful thing to realize that the sin is in my life that is in my life can be taken away. And I want to make assurance to you on the broadcast today that that can be done. Ephesians 1:7 tells you how completely your sin can be forgiven. When Paul made it clear by saying, in whom we have redemption through his blood, that's the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Someone says, how do I receive benefit from this blood, and how do I come from darkness into light? The Bible is clear upon this subject, and we cite the entire book of Acts with its marvelous accounts of Holy Spirit teaching regarding conversion. You'll find that these people heard the word, they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed their faith, that they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they were baptized into Christ. And when they were buried with the Lord in baptism with full faith in their life, their sins were forgiven. They were buried with him in baptism, Paul says in Colossians 2 and 12, wherein they were risen with him through faith in the operation of God, the same God that raised Jesus from the dead. So the room of your life may be dark today, but we bring you the ray of hope in this broadcast through the glorious teaching brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, having a sincere desire, because it is the desire of the Lord that no man should perish, but that all might come to repentance. May you turn from your sin today. May you put on Jesus Christ in your life as the true Savior of your soul. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that have brought you this broadcast stand ready to help you. Maybe you'd like to study the Bible, or maybe you'd like to have some counseling from the Scripture. The brethren who bring you this broadcast are well qualified to do this. Certainly they'd be glad to sit down with you in your home or the church building or any place else and talk about the marvelous truth. Why don't you contact them today, and might we suggest that you attend the service, the next service of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast. We are your friendly neighbors, and we have a sincere desire to see you come by the way of the cross. Be delivered from that power of darkness. Be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the kingdom of light. May God bless you as you obey this marvelous and this wonderful truth.